Hello and welcome to the Dr. Denise Show. This is Kathleen O'Toole. I joined Dr. Denise on her special carve-out series called On Staying Sane. And that is what we try to do week after week, right, Dr. Denise?
Oh my goodness, absolutely. So first of all, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate your expertise, your groundedness, our friendship, but also just, I feel like when I get to do these shows with you, it's a level of emotional support that I don't think I actually verbally say out loud on the show. So I just wanted to say thank you for holding sacred space every week to discuss these important topics.
So we gave a little thought about what to talk about this week. We're recording on Thursday, March 10th. And we decided after talking yesterday about Denise was having what a day. And she's like, no, Kathleen, I'm having what a week. So that's what we're doing. We're doing what a day, what a week episode. Like when sometimes life ebbs, well, always life ebbs and flows. And sometimes when it really gets tricky, it can seem like it comes all at once. And so that's what we're tackling today. Thoughts, Dr. Denise?
Yeah, no, absolute thoughts. And I think one of the reverent discussions you and I just had before we hit record button was, it's so hard to even talk about what's going on in my world and what's overwhelming when I can't even imagine. Like I have so much love, compassion, and actually real sadness about what's going on in Ukraine. And I think when it's like, what a week for me or you, it's like, what a week for people all around the world, but especially those in Ukraine right now.
Right. I mean, there's just no end to, you know, when we think, oh, and then something kind of seemingly worse happens. And I sadly suspect that it's going to continue where it just, the atrocity tops the previous atrocity. Yesterday we were, and Denise and I were just talking offline before we started about the maternity and children's hospital with a giant crater outside and dead people inside bombed. And so, you know, we think, well, that's got to be the worst we see. And I don't know.
Well, I want to just honor an exact, this is from CNN. And I know last week we talked about you really like BBC and Reuters and just your own kind of, if you haven't tuned into last week's show, Kathleen gave some amazing tips on how to, for yourself, have your own awareness of how much news to grab and go, but also different news sources that present news with different neutrality versus, you know, the ones who are really accountable for fact checking. So I just want to make sure this update that I just read, live update right before this show, is on CNN. And it says a deadly Russian bomb attacks on a maternity hospital in southern Ukraine. It sparked international outrage. And I just want to really honor Ukraine President Zelensky saying that the bombing was, quote, proof of a genocide and a repeated call for NATO to declare a no-fly zone over the country. So I cannot do this On Staying Sane series with you without really being reverent and honoring the sadness of this, what's going on. We're going to shift and talk about, you know, anywhere we are in the world, whatever country you are, race, gender, sexuality, whatever way you're having an overwhelming day or week. But I just want to honor and send love and prayers, but more than prayers, I hope that there's some humanitarian shift. And I hope that we can actually not have, when there are people trying to escape peacefully out of a country, there should be no way that humanitarian, that corridor should have ever been blocked. And this is not acceptable, what's happening on hospitals and maternity. So that is just not okay. And I have to say that, and we can shift, but I wouldn't be doing myself justice if I didn't like honor what I really am feeling right now. Cause that's part of why I feel like I'm feeling overwhelmed, because I feel like sometimes, do you ever feel, Kathleen, powerless when there's tragedies going on in other parts of the world? And then, you know, how do we stay sane when we look at it, but also have compassion?
Of course, all of it. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of powerless feelings. But I always maintain that it, as much as you can for your neurostyle, to stay educated about what is going on to the best of your ability. And I was told this week, you have to turn that off.
Oh,
so
really?
Even me, my husband, even me who
go, Bill.
Yeah, who, you know, is able to, like, I was watching a piece about children, cancer patients and hospice children being transferred via bus and train. And he's like, you got a war and children with cancer. You need to shut this off. And I was like, okay. And I shut it off. Because,
yeah. Right when you said that, I have phrases that I do in my own mind to help me stay sane. And when I get myself caught in any situation at any time in history where there's atrocity, tragedy, betrayal, I look at it, but then I have to, this is the way, you know, how do you, we're asking ourselves, how do you stay sane in this modern day life when we've got access to all this media and emails coming at us and text messages? Right when you were saying that, I heard step away from the phone, step away from the iPhone. Like, I actually have to do, like, okay, Denise, in 10 minutes, you're going to shut your phone off and then you're going to do your next part of your routine. And I think routines are I was thinking, what does help me stay sane? The words that come to mind are routine. And my son really grounds me. I feel like if we're blessed to be parents, our children really ground us because they're in the moment of their universe, wherever they are in the world. And as a parent, I feel like, Denise, you have to provide food, shelter, clothing, and love to this little human right in front of you. So that kind of grounds me. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I mean, the children are a great grounder and they can be a great stressor, because I was thinking about what we're going to talk about next is what a day, what a week. And they can really bring a lot of joy, love, heartache, anxiety, anger, all of it. You know, they're like, just, you know,
it's,
I mean,
all encompassing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the teenager years and, oh.
Well, I'm glad you said that, though, because you and I, even from like a boundary standpoint on doing this co-hosting, and I'm so grateful to you, I've known you since we were age 9. And that to me is such a reverent relationship, having this time to do the show. But sometimes I want to call you and not like, we only have X amount of minutes. So sometimes I feel overwhelmed, like, oh, first of all, happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you had your anniversary.
I had an anniversary, and then tomorrow is a big day for me because it's my daughter's birthday. And you know how birthdays are really sacrosanct when you haven't had that many of them yet, right?
Yes.
So, yes.
How young is she?
She will be turning 11.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
11.
And I have to tell you, I have to, a little bit of bragging. I just, and this goes to what a day, I just got back from the school and an award ceremony where my daughter was awarded for honesty this morning. And she got a card and a pin.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me?
Nope.
I'm getting chills.
Them. Yeah, yeah. So,
wow.
But you guys, you know how even the good things can cause a lot of like running around and being frenetic and maybe even a little bit of anxiety to get all the good things done, right?
Oh my goodness. So, yes. So I wanted to just finish the thought when I was trying to reach out to you, because I had so much, like, I love that you just said that. So you have an anniversary, your daughter's birthday, we have what's going on, the sadness in the world. And then I had multiple good things this week, but I wanted to tell you personally, I just wanted to talk with you as friends about our kiddos this week. And I knew that I had X amount of time with you. So I think sometimes everyone, when we're feeling overwhelmed, it's a moment to moment of now of how to spend your time. And yesterday, thank you so much for carving out time to talk about what's going on in our week. But like, even the simplest things for me, I'm able to like handle a lot of stress. Like if someone calls me and, you know, they're feeling like they don't want to be on the planet, they're thinking suicide, I'm able to hold sacred space and help people go from crisis to thrive as a doctor. But yesterday I felt so overwhelmed, just as a single mother. I had tow trucks coming and one tow truck didn't work. And I'm like, I want to be like, I'm like, they're like, we sent the wrong tow truck out. I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh, and dear. I know that sounds so silly after what we just talked about, the atrocities in the world, but I literally was like, the two trucks
are
coming. I have
a finite amount of time for this. And now it's all going haywire.
Yes. And then I was so fortunate that I got a chance to talk with you, and you even were there when the second tow truck came. And I did a plea for to the nice lady on AAA, I said, "Hi, I just want you to know I have patients starting at this time and I need to be an attentive doctor. So if tow trucks come late or this, they might need to wait for me for a couple minutes." And so I know that some of this seems trivial, but how do you stay sane when you have multiple world stressors, family stressors, life stressors? And sometimes there's so many good things. I like what you said, Kathleen. There can be a week where you have, like, I had so many different fun things happen this week, but sometimes you want to take the time. I think one of the keys is I just created more time for myself on Sunday. Someone mm-hmm. that's a college roommate spontaneously was going to be in town and asked if I could meet for dinner. And I just looked at my calendar and I have a home visit I'm doing for someone tomorrow that's suffering. And I said, "Denise, you really want to see this lovely lady?" But it was a last minute yes. And I need my Sunday to recharge. I need to go have a retreat day or swim more. So I think when we're all, no matter what's going on in our life, we have to know when to say no and when to have more boundaries when we're feeling overwhelmed.
Right, right. The boundaries are key. The boundaries are key. And setting them up ahead of time so that you don't get these weird late minute asks or... no offense against your college friend, but like with the people you deal with a lot, so that they know, well, I really shouldn't ask her that at the 11th hour like this. She needs to be a little bit more scheduled. Even you and I, like, you know, you're like, please no unplanned phone calls. We need to plan phone calls.
Well, can I explain that further here? When I see Kathleen O'Toole pop up on my phone,
you get so excited you want to answer.
Yes, I want to answer you. You rock. No, it's the truth. I'm not even kidding you. My attention span for wanting to talk with you is like a 99.9% more of what I would want to do than most of the times. And that's why I'm like, I want to do this show with you. I want to see you more. I'm like, oh my God, well, we get to just keep expanding the show. So that I'm like, I'm sitting there like a dog drooling for the bone going, oh my God, I want to talk to her. And so my only reason for saying that was to just make sure I've carved out special time with you. And I had to do that with some of my patients. And this is actually for all of us. I think when we have our iPhones and our computers right now, if we're still doing some hybrid working, when I was at the office more, which by the way, my patients are still wanting more telehealth than in person. I would just have my phone turned down and off and be there with my patients. Now, a lot of times my patients want audio only or Zoom. I try to be flexible for their neuro style. So I could be in the middle of hearing someone say the most tragic part of the session, and I get a call that comes in, and then my mind quickly goes to that. So I feel like part of the overwhelm is just the natural built-in electronics world, and how do we all each navigate our own neuro style and our own, like, mommy day, work day, entrepreneur day, athlete day? It's like overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I see that with my kids too. I was trying to do a little project with my son last night and he just couldn't, like, there was the TV on kind of as background. He kept looking up and I said, wow, sometimes we need to quiet everything just to get something done. And that's a good little tip. Like, you know, I'm keeping track of the tips that we're kind of weaving in here without going, here's a tip. But so far, you know, setting the boundaries and making a quiet space, even if it's just for a little bit. I had this crazy frenetic morning that I was not expecting. And it was like, what a day, right? Wow.
Is that
and
today?
It happened on the day that we're, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, I've already, it's noon here in
I'm laughing because I know you so well in my own neuro style. Like right when we were having a little bit of troubles with the audio at first before we logged on, and I heard your breath go, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a, oh. And then I like, you didn't hear the part where I was on the microphone going, hi, beautiful. Hi.
Nope, couldn't hear that.
And then I made sure everyone that I wanted.
I didn't know if maybe you were getting a cup of tea. You know, sometimes when you're logged on, you think that's a good thing to remember, you know?
Yeah. But I just want to say
under your breath.
But wait, this is so important. The moment of now, and how do we get through those moments of feeling overwhelmed? So I specifically heard your tone of voice go, And then I'm like, she didn't get to hear the part where I told her she was beautiful three times. So I'm going to just say that again when the microphone goes on, because I sure like it when people call me beautiful or gorgeous. So I think the other part, you can hear my voice going 1 minute from like, like you have moments of crisis to thrive. Like if you're intentional in the moment, and it doesn't mean you can't have multiple feelings at once. I mean, when I was reading the news this morning, I almost am about in tears when I feel the pain and the suffering. This is very important. Everyone has different neuro styles of how they pick up on emotions in person or in emotions from a distance. And some people just don't pick up on emotions. Some people's neuro styles, it's just not in their radar. So I was really, I went from going, hi, beautiful, to you, to reading the updates. And I got sad. So I think the other thing that we don't know how to talk about, and that's one of the things I feel so fortunate to do this with you, is honoring that moment to moment on staying sane can be tricky in this world that we live in.
Yeah, that's true.
Kath, you were about to say something about that honor of an award and getting an award on honesty, and that people would think that's so exciting. And I mean, we can broaden this out for everyone, but sometimes I know my son, when he was younger, and he's better with compliments now, but I used to have to ask him, do you want a compliment? Yes or no? And I do that with all ages in my practice, because some people have a hard time winning awards. And sometimes people have a hard time if there's like a ceremony. So I'm going to let you just speak on that with your daughter, because I had something this week that happened with one of my, someone in my practice too.
She was pretty, she felt pretty honored to get because it's not just like they give it out to everybody. So she felt pretty honored. But you know, she has her own neuro style. She finds her mom very embarrassing. I'm very embarrassing.
Annoying to my son.
I know
you're embarrassing. I'm annoying.
Okay. Most parents will understand that, right? You know, maybe if you have like tiny little ones, you haven't gone through that yet, but it's coming. And so I'm embarrassing. And then I wanted a picture after the ceremony. And she's like, and you have 5, 4, 3, like what this countdown, you know, so it was one of those things where I knew fun, good things can be stressors. And to be honest, this was a late night email from the school.
Did you almost miss the email? Because see, I miss emails sometimes.
Listen to this. I got an email at 9:43 last night that my child was being awarded an honor in the morning at 8.
This morning?
Yeah.
WTF. Sorry.
Right. Like,
that's a WTF-er for me.
Shouldn't it be like a week notice?
Yes, because I would be really sad. What if my son was getting an award?
I just so happened to open the email. Yes. I went to bed promptly at 10. I turned off all that news that I was watching. I like to watch Anderson 360. I think he's a good storyteller. And so then I shut him off, Anderson off. And I was like, I just, by the grace of God, checked my email.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Exactly.
So that just set me, and then I had this and that, you know.
So you get through it? You got the email, you had the emotional, which my emotion was WTF. How did you get through, how did you make it all happen? How did you go from being overwhelmed in that moment?
I just said, okay, what's my schedule? What's like kind of fungible? Maybe I can push this back. Yep. I can push this back a little bit. I can even shorten that. Now I have this to pick up, but I should have scheduled to pick it up down there by the school that's a half hour away, but no, I scheduled it up here. Blah, blah, blah. So it's like, for me, it's like kind of like, okay, plan B. Now, how do we, and I'm trying to teach my daughter that, like, okay, something different happened than is expected. So what's our backup plan? How are we going to be cognitively flexible that we're not going to be stuck that, wait, this ruins my whole day. You know, if this is something good that could still kind of ruin your whole day, or something bad that can, okay, how do we be cognitively flexible to rearrange? And so, I kind of went through the plans and okay. And then, so at this point now in my day, it's as scripted, right? We say that in the news business. Okay. I'm as scripted. Nothing that I know of is going to change in the next couple hours with all the balls I have in the air. So I would urge people of all ages to try to do that. Sometimes I have too many backup plans, which is a whole nother thing.
I didn't know this about you. Too many backup plans.
You didn't know
plans.
That?
Oh my gosh.
So people who are anxious.
Oh my gosh. Ready? Wait, can I just make some music? Dun, dun, dun. The learn. Dun, dun, dun. Be adaptive. Dun, dun, dun. Have structure. Dun, dun, dun. What? I didn't know that about you, Kathleen, that you have multiple backup plans. Tell me more.
Well, so some people with anxiety come up with things that could happen. And then the way to deal with that anxiety for some of us is to say, okay, if that happens, then I'm going to do what? Right?
So we're going to be doing actually called cognitive reframing. So I'm an adult and child psychiatrist. I know I don't, that people, if they know that, you know that, but sometimes we forget. And so that's, right. You do cognitive reframing, and you're also talking about when someone has what's called catastrophic thinking. A lot of times if people have generalized anxiety, or even, I'm not saying this is what you have, but in general, people right. in my practice, generalized anxiety or OCD or depression, they have what's called catastrophic thinking. So maybe
I'll give you an example, like, oh my God, that Christmas is ruined. This has happened
Sorry.
In my life.
Oh my
So
Lord.
That's catastrophic. Like when you say something is yes. ruined or
yes.
oh, it's just never going to be okay now. That's called catastrophic thinking.
Yes. Good job.
Yes.
Okay. So what are your backup plans? Do you want to share a little bit?
Like, well, so
I think it is good to have it. By the way, I think it's good to have a backup plan as long as your backup plans don't make you more anxious.
Right. So for instance, we're driving tomorrow. So I'm telling people all these details about my life. So, you know.
Well, it's an example. We're doing it for an example.
Right. We're driving tomorrow, and we're not used to inclement weather because we live in Florida where there's like a hurricane or nothing. And so we might be driving through some difficult to drive in weather. So I've kind of made a couple backup plans in my mind. And I've also consulted with someone where we're going who can give us like an eyewitness view of the weather. Is it as really as bad as the smartphone saying, or is it, you know, so I've made some plans, and it's not catastrophic at all. The weather is coming, and, you know, catastrophic is thinking I'm going to careen off the mountainside. That's catastrophic thinking, but I'm planning to be safe, mitigating my anxiety about driving in difficult weather with some plants, and it's going to be okay. We're going to stay safe.
Can I just say something? I love that you just gave all those examples. So if I can break it down as a doctor and also just here on the show for the on staying sane and being overwhelmed. So we just discussed specific kind of surprise news that happened. And the one that was just more of a day-to-day normal thing that can happen is we get an email and that the meeting changes, the ward mm-hmm. happens. This is something we all deal with. Then we have to take like you might have your initial WTF. I call it strategic mindful profanity that helps you just target that emotion. Mm-hmm. So I've actually talked to my son about that you get that emotion of the WTF. So then you get to release the emotion, and then the emotion carries energy. And if you realize that sometimes this is why I actually ended up having so far an amazing productive week, because you have to know when to speed up and when to slow down in your own thinking and when to use your emotions and the flow and the context of your maybe feeling upset or angry. And so you gave two examples, one, a change in plan with an award, and two, going on a family trip where there could be bad weather that could be honestly something to be concerned about. So we have to identify the situation, allow ourselves to have the feeling. Then instead of going into that black hole of worry or catastrophic where you get what's called like paralyzed with indecision, when you get paralyzed.
Oh, we call that at my house paralysis by analysis.
I love it. I love it. I love phrases, because when we have phrases, it's called name it to claim it. When you're aware that you're feeling paralysis by analysis, that's a form of cognitive reframing. You're actually calling out your emotion. And then if you're aware and intentional in the moment, you can use that energy to even get more done. And so this week, some of my specific hacks that I did were I like to look at all the things that are going right in the world when I'm like feeling overwhelmed with maybe the stressors in my life or what's like tragic in the world. I love going to, I've already mentioned, I'm just going to say Maria Shriver. I love her feed. because she's so intelligent and she usually has a hopeful thing to say. And she also has an action item. I love following or watching her influencers that either give you a tip or a tool or a healing show, or you can donate to this, or you could help a neighbor. That gives me that feeling of using that energy of maybe fear or catastrophic thinking. It shifts it more to hope. And that's something I know you've been passionate about, Kathleen. You've been always wanting hopeful storytelling, but you also like the reality that there are some things that just suck, right? So we have to like honor that all of your feelings are okay, but then what if we have more tools in the toolbox? I will also, I don't want to say their name, but I also noticed on someone's story that they were the top donor for some money to help feed people in Ukraine. And that just warmed my heart this week. I'm like, oh, that is amazing. So I made sure I reached out to that friend and said, wow, because I was like, that is just incredible. So that gave me hope. And then yesterday I was so excited when I did get to speak with you because I had so much to share with you. And then I'm like, oh my God, I just wish Kathleen and I had a show every day. And I'm like, okay, that could happen someday. Like, so, because like things are going. So I just think that this catastrophic, I like what you said. I did that show called Adaptive versus Restrictive Perfectionism. And you said the words being rigid. And a part of good mental health for all of us, when we have awareness, self-love and altruism is like the fundamentals for mental, spiritual, and body health, is how do we integrate and adapt in a moment of stress or feeling overwhelmed? And to me, the more tools in our toolbox, I don't know if you know this, I've been getting up, I was thinking about it. I wake up 40 minutes before my alarm goes off. And instead of hitting snooze now, I don't have a snooze because it didn't go off yet. I actually think, I go, oh my gosh, this is 40 minutes back to yourself to be grateful for everything going right. And I pick thoughts, people, or actions that I actually send love to. And sometimes I do, you know, I know everyone has different belief systems, but I believe in God. And so there's times when I just pray directly. I'm getting chills talking about it. I literally use that time. So if you do believe in a higher power, or maybe your higher power is someone like a Maria Shriver that's just doing great in the world, right? Or the Dalai Lama, or, you know, if you want to just tune in to your own form of prayer or your own form of hope or mind medicine or focused intention swimming, yoga, those are good nutrition, sleep. These are things that can help us feel less overwhelmed. My house, by the way, honestly looks like it was vandalized today. And I have to tell you, my house looks vandalized. Like I would never, like Kathleen.
Right. The police would come in with the fingerprint dust to try to find who broke in.
My house looks vandalized. And then instead of going, oh, because I do have this little negative self-talk that this is another part of when we're feeling overwhelmed. I'm like, oh my gosh, you should be doing the dishes more. Why didn't you sweep? Why didn't you hire someone yet? You and your son had, like, you're not doing that. You're doing it yourself. But instead of going, so I do go to that part where there is that initial catastrophic or that negative self-talk. That's part of being human, having those thoughts that drop, but then you watch it and you're aware. Then I tell myself, well, wow, you had such a productive week. You've helped so many people. You're doing so many shows. Your son's thriving. He's happy. It's better to be doing those 7 hours of devotion in the car to fencing than to have a clean house. So I think the big part of feeling less overwhelmed is wherever you are, whatever age, background, part of the world you're in, look at your own unique situation and give yourself credit for all that's going right. And then ask yourself in the moment, is there anything else I can do to help myself, my family, or others?
Yay. We're just about out of time. Was there anything else that you wanted to tell us?
Just that gratitude's my secret sauce. And that Kathleen, I know that the way we were raised or the way she is, her neurostyle, maybe, I don't know. I just really want to let you know, Kathleen, I really value you. And I value all the listeners that have been giving me feedback. The other thing I want to give a shout out is it really warms my heart. I've gotten some messages this week, and one of the moms in my practice said, your show is like my new therapy every day. Thank you for the show. And then I had someone else say thank you. And it's about making sure that the show's actually helping. So I just want to say thank you for anyone that's listening. You're really motivating myself and I think Kathleen too to keep going and to keep helping with these
on staying sane. Thanks, Denise.
Thanks, Kathleen. Thanks, everyone.